Please stand for the doxology. The call to worship. I was glad when it said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
They are planted in the house of the Lord, they pour the words of our God.
O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, while we are singing.
We will now have the hymn of praise read by Brother Timothy Caston.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
The hymn of praise this morning is, we've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in it and his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Don't be discouraged when trouble in your life. He will bear your burdens and move all mystery and stifle. Just the other day, I heard someone say, he didn't believe in God's word. But I can truly say that God had made a way. He's never failed me yet. Please sing with uplifted voices.
We will now have our invocation by our brother Brandon McGee.
May you bow your heads, please. Father, thank you that you have brought each of us here safely to this place. We gladly surrender our lives to you in worship and praise. As we gather, we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for healing. And for those who are away from us, we ask you bless them to be on them. We invite you to the beautiful Holy Spirit to move freely among us. Come dwell within each of our hearts. Equip us, challenge us, comfort us, teach us, inspire us as we learn more about your majestic ways. Father, as we meet now, may we behold your beauty and encounter your grace. We ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
us hear a summary of the Decalogue. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Let us affirm our faith by the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And as you take your seats, put your hands together and just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Now, you can do it a little better than that. We ought to be able to clap the roof off the ceiling by virtue of our appreciation for God. How many of you are just happy to be alive this morning? How many of you are just appreciative of the blessings of God in your life? How many of you know that can't nobody do you like God? And had it not been for the Lord on your side, you just wouldn't be here right now. And because you don't know what else to do, all you can do is put your hands together in grateful adoration and say, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God." Yeah. It's good to give God praise. I was reading the Daily Bread lesson this morning, and it talked about praise. And when all else fails, we can always say, "Thank you, God." Always have a reason to give God thanks. In spite of, through it all, we can say, "Thank you, Lord," because God is good. He's good all the time. Ain't that true? I want you to let that marinate for a minute. Yeah, back in the olden days, you know, we're not ready for the table yet, brothers. We're not ready for the table yet, brothers. That's all right. Oh, you all are the usher. Go on, do what you have to do. Praise God. Brother Cody has given the word. And so they're being proactive. Give God a hand clap of praise for these proactive brothers. He said there are only two of us, and we are on duty to receive the first offering, and by virtue of that, then it's impossible for them to be able to be in two places at the same time. Turn to your neighbor and say, "He told him." That makes a lot of sense, Brother Cody. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. Praise God. And I thank God for the forward thinking, because you would have been in a jam come the next offering. So he already worked his way out of the jam. But that then says to the rest of us brothers, when you see that there are only the two brothers on the door, then the rest of us got to kick it in. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We were talking this morning in our church school, and some people were making the comparison, well, why was Martha such a worker?
And why was Mary such a worshiper? And the teacher was trying to, make the distinction that somebody had to do the cooking. Amen. Everybody couldn't have been sitting at the feet of Jesus, so I guess these other brothers said, I came to worship, I did not come to work. Amen. So they are not lifting any tables up this morning. We thank God. Because we do give him total praise. He is the source of our strength. He's the strength of our life. And we can lift up our eyes to the hills and give him total praise. Amen. At this time, we do invite these brothers to come forward, Brother Just and Brother Cody, to receive our benevolent offering. There will be three offerings in this service. I want to kind of say that on the front end so that you might be able to prepare not only your hearts, but prepare yourselves. The benevolent offering, this is the offering that enables us to help those who come to the church for help, amen, like the poor and the needy, and enable us to do works of mission. And so that's what this particular offering enables us to do. The second offering, and they've already delivered the table, we're going to invite Brother Henry Fleming III to come receive that offering, and then also we invite Brother Nathaniel Mitchell, if he would come at the appropriate time to help us receive that offering. But there will be another pan at the table. Remember, this is the month that we have designated as our back-to-school outreach month because we've adopted a family for our back-to-school efforts. And last Sunday, we received over nearly $500 in that effort. Amen. Praise God. Just one Sunday. And so there's no secret as to what the Lord can do through you. Amen. And so we're getting close to our goal, but we can't make the goal without you. So that special plate will be there specifically. All of those funds go to the family of those children who are going back to school so that the parent, the grandparent can buy them clothes, school supplies, and those children can be ready on day one. Amen. To step into the school setting and be prepared. Please, again, my brothers and sisters, give as the Lord has given you. And at this time, our music ministry department will give us an interview. Thank you.
Amen. Let us lift our tithe gifts and additional offerings up to the Lord. God, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you. We lift you up, O Heavenly Father, realizing that you are the Most High God. We come thanking you for making ways for us all week, all month. We thank you, God, for being a provider. We thank you for protecting us even in the midst of our doubts and our fears. We ask now, O God, that you take these, our gifts, merge them with those of our brothers and sisters so that ministry can be performed from this place. Make Mount Zion a blessing to this community so that our lights might be able to shine, so individuals might be able to inquire, what must I do to be saved? And then, God, we ask that you continue to bless us. Give us the desires of our hearts based on our faithfulness and your faithfulness toward us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please follow the direction of the ushers. At this time, we invite you to come bring your gifts. Please remember that Brother Cody is holding the special basket. We are one-third along the way toward our goal. And so please, my brothers and my sisters, let us be diligently faithful in that so that we might be a blessing to that family as they prepare for school. Amen. The choir will give us another selection for giving at this time. Come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given these.
Amen. These are the hardest working brothers in Mount Zion Church. And on top of that, they're sharp. I don't know, Sister Cody, one of these days, I'm gonna just come and try to be like Brother Cody. I mean, he is smooth. He's sharp. He's no nonsense. And Brother Just is just, I mean, those guys, these are people to look up to, amen. They don't make no fuss, they just get it done. Amen. Amen. It's good to be back in God's house one more time. I see my father is here again today. Amen. And I'm glad to see him in the house. Praise the Lord. We've been spending a lot of time. We have almost 50 years of catching up to do. And so he's been trying to catch up. You know, he's been putting it in these last few days. Amen. We were at the midnight basketball last night on the east side, amen. Councilman Mitchell was there with us, so we've been rolling pretty late last night. We started off at Hannibal's Kitchen. I told him that was not my kind of eating, but after I got through eating it, I was glad I went. Oh Lord, I was so happy. I said, I don't think people can eat like this all the time. But it was good to eat that on yesterday, amen. And we went to Dave's seafood restaurant that Friday night. And so we've been just doing some good networking. And each place that we've gone, he's asked them for a donation for our family for the back to school initiative, amen. And they have given it to him, amen. And so he has taken that up as his personal mission these days to make sure that we have more than enough for this family. Amen. So I appreciate that. Praise God. And so we thank God for that. And certainly I just am so appreciative because I didn't expect him to be here this morning. But certainly I'm glad that he's here. Amen. Praise God. And Reverend Corbin is just like my father. I mean, he was there during those years, you know, giving me a swift kick where a swift kick needed to go. And so we thank God for Reverend Corbin. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for Reverend Corbin in the house today. And Brother Cody or the music staff, Brother Ori, do we have a mic? Please let us just take a mic to Reverend Corbin so he can say hi. Or whatever he wants to say. At his stage in life, he can say whatever he chooses to us. And we'll be satisfied with it. Amen.
We greet you today in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank God just to be here. And I want all of you beautiful ladies to know that I love you and I miss you. Let nobody think that I had anything to do with it. He's just an accident that I had, you know. But I'm glad that we had that experience at Peter Chapel. But God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. I want y'all to pray for me. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Let us give Reverend Corbin a hand.
Good to see Brother Warren Cox. He's all the way from Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, or wherever he was, amen, over there in war-torn countries. And he is back on American soil behind the drums, amen. We salute all of our military personnel and soldiers. I believe brother from Beaufort is in the house, who's also a soldier, fellow veterans who are in the house. We thank God for y'all, amen, and your service to our country. Give them a hand. God, for all of those who were named and for those who were not named, we pray. We pray for Brother Billy Hutchinson. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are sick and convalescing. We pray for Robert Reed. We pray for Charles Brown. We pray for Alberta Fernandez, Caroline Franklin, Desiree Hollins, Reverend Jesse Reed, Freeman Rivers, Thelma Sumter. We pray for Maria Tony Smith, and we pray for Gail Stewart. We ask, O Heavenly Father, that you heal and deliver them. For those who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, place a rod and a staff in their hands to comfort them, and we will continue to give your name the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I
What you're going through, he's gonna bring you through. I got out. Yeah, that'll take you through the week. Amen. Brandon McGee, give him a hand. I'm a musician, and sometimes I listen to these guys, and you were wearing me out, you know, with that. I wanted you to play that a little bit more with that drive part, you know, with the bass line and whatever. Just do that for me one more time. That's just kind of like making my morning. That's right, right there. Right there. Yeah. Walk that for a while. Yeah, walk. That's what I'm talking about. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. Now, Sister Nelson, that'll take you back to the Reformed House of God right there. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Keep. Yeah! Turn it loose, keep it right there, keep it right. Yeah. I don't know about your hearts, but that did my heart good. Amen. No matter what you're going through, it's very simple. Jesus, he can bring you through. I got out. Those little simple praises can remind us of the power of God. And then when you put a little beat to it like that, amen, you feel like you can get out. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I must just be the only one. Hit that for me one more time. That'll be enough to carry me through the week. Amen. Amen. Now somebody's putting a double clap with that thing. Y'all about to mess me up. Yeah. Thank you. Amen. Sister Washington is a master coffee importer, exporter person. Amen. From James Island. Wave your hand, Sister Washington. Amen. She specializes in coffee. But I drink tea, amen. And I'm just letting you know that was my cup of tea right there. And if that wasn't your cup of tea, then prayerfully something else in this whole service was your cup of tea, amen. But that did my heart all the good. And thank God for this young adult choir, this youth choir, amen. Amen. For our Divine Zion praise dancers, praise God. And for these young people who have participated and led us in worship services today, both brothers Castine, Miles, and Timothy, amen. Along with Brandon McGee, Amani Stanley Dees, we thank God for all of them. Give God a good hand clap of praise. Let us pray. God, we thank you, we praise you, we bless your holy name. Thank you for reminding us, no matter what we're going through, the power of your Son can bring us through. Thank you, Father, for just encouraging us that we can still get out. We praise you now for another opportunity to just open your word so that we might be able to learn the mysteries that you've hidden from so many others. Enlighten us, inspire us, motivate us, encourage us. And we will be so careful to give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you would turn with me to the scripture that was read in your hearing this morning so eloquently by Sister Amani Stanley Dees, Zechariah. The 9th chapter, beginning with verse number 9, just a few verses of that passage of scripture, beginning with verse number 9 through verse number 12. Zechariah 9, 9 through 12. When you would have found it, if you would say amen. And the word of God simply reads this way: Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Amen. Using as a sermon subject in the form of a question, simply these words: Can you handle a double blessing? Can you handle a double blessing? Some of us can't handle one, because as soon as we get one blessing, especially a blessing that could be considered coveted, many of us, our attitudes sharply change. Sometimes we become so arrogant. Sometimes we become so braggadocious. Sometimes we become so disgusting in our own attainment that others cannot fully appreciate our blessing along with us. We call this getting the big head. Have you ever met somebody whose head just swole up? because they receive something and they feel like nobody else can get that but them. Sometimes God is ready and willing to bless us, but we're not able to handle it. And that's why we have to go through the trials and tribulations and circumstances of life that will prepare you to be appreciative. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. That when a blessing does come your way, you do recognize that it is a blessing from God above. And so here we find in Zechariah's prophecy, in Zechariah the 9th chapter, Israel was already in captivity. And they stood ready to receive a blessing. And the blessing that they were looking for was freedom from their captives. Amen. And they were waiting because there were prophets who had come before Zechariah and they had heard of the promise as long as they were in captivity that God would deliver them. Amen. How many of you know that God is a deliverer? They knew that God would deliver them, but they just did not know when. Many of us have stood in that same position, knowing that God was going to come through for us, but we just didn't know when he was coming. And sometimes we didn't know how he was going to do it. And so Israel was standing ready to receive the blessing of freedom, because they had been in captivity for 70 years and they recognized that God was not far off from them because the prophecies were coming frequently. And so here we find in the 9th chapter, the 9th verse, that Zechariah prophesies about God's son. Amen. And some folk don't make these parallels and connections when we talk about the Messiah or we talk about the Christ. Many of us wait until we get into the New Testament, but we can see him in the Old Testament, praise God. And this is one of those examples that not only do we see him once, but we see him twice, praise God. And so here we find that Zechariah tells them in verse number 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you." Here we find that Zechariah prophesies not about one advent. We talk about advent as in Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he then talks about two comings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because not only did he come born through a virgin, not only did he come and walk among us as a man, but when he was crucified on the cross and rose again on the third day, he said, "I'm coming back again." And he will receive us unto himself. So here we find Zechariah not prophesying about the first coming, but also the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some prophets didn't realize the length of time between the first coming and the second coming. Therefore, they thought that he was going to come soon. And we still think that he is coming soon. We have to remember 1,000 years in the sight of God are just like one day. And so just because he don't come when you want him to come, turn to your neighbor and say, "Hold on." Oh, I wish I had somebody who had a neighbor. Turn to somebody and say, "Hold on." Because if God doesn't come when you want him to come, he's coming. And when he does come, he will be on time. And so God is going to come again, but this time we know that when he comes, he's going to crack the sky, and when Jesus comes, the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will begin to rise first. And those of us who are alive and remaining will be caught up to meet him in the air. Here we find that Isaiah prophesies how he would come. He said, "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So unlike Alexander the Great or some of these great kings that came in who were carried on military sort of battling rams, he came in lowly and on a donkey. This was the fulfillment of Christ's triumphant entry that we saw throughout the Gospels. The Jews should have been looking for somebody to come from the line of David, but instead they missed it because he did not come in the manner that they wished for him to come. A lot of us are looking for God. A lot of us are expecting to be blessed. But if God does not send us the blessing the way that we anticipate that he is going to send it, then we miss our blessing. How many of you have ever missed your blessing? And you can acknowledge that you missed your blessing because it didn't come from who you anticipated it, or it didn't come through the means by which you expected, so you let that one pass you by. Here we find that he is king. King of my life, I crown thee now. Where shall thy glory be? Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. We find that he is just. Not Isaiah just, but he's just. Amen. When you're just, that means you're meek and lowly, you're equitable and fair. When you're just, you're righteous in all of your ways. Aren't you so glad that God is not like other folk, that he don't do you the way that folk are? He gives you exactly what you deserve. He brings salvation. I'm so happy that Christ came that we might be saved. In Romans it said, whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He is humble, which reminds us that we too should be humble. And then in verses 10 and following, Zechariah moves to the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how he is going to establish his universal kingdom so that we all might be a part of that particular kingdom. He talks about that this kingdom is not characterized by bloodshed, and we don't have to worry about guns and mother of all bombs. We don't have to worry about North Korea launching missiles, because when God comes, our weapons of warfare will be destroyed and they will be converted for peaceful use. He says that peace will spread from the river to the ends of the earth. He's talking about the river Euphrates, which is the beginning of all civilization throughout all of the world. Amen. Here we find in verse number 10, he talks about cutting off the chariot from Ephraim. Ephraim is another name for Jerusalem, sometimes used to connote the northern kingdom, but it occasionally applies to the whole nation of Jerusalem. But through Jerusalem, God speaks of his blood covenant. God made a covenant or a promise with Israel. And because God made a covenant and a promise with Israel, when Jesus Christ came, that same promise was grafted to all of us who believe. And so God then caused us to be a part of the family of God, and the promises of God are available to us as well. So we then ask ourselves the question, why is Israel so blessed? Is it because Israel had been so faithful? And we know that Israel had not been faithful because Israel went whoring after other nations. But God was so faithful to Israel because of the blood covenant that he had made with Israel. That meant that God was going to be with Israel, whether Israel was with God or not. And the same way God was with Israel, God is with each one of us. And so as long as we are grafted to the family of God, we can lift up our eyes and say, Abba, Father, and recognize that God is our Father. And God continues to provide. He continues to protect. He continues to make a way out of no way because of the blood covenant that he has made with us. And that covenant is in force as long as God is God. He said, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Remember up in heaven, Lucifer, who was one of the highest ranking angels, had the most melodious voice, wanted to be like God. And God sent him crashing down to hell like lightning, recognizing that ain't nothing but one God. And so when we begin to look at the power of God, you can search all over, but I have not found anybody that's greater than God. When we call on God, God will come to our rescue. When we call on God, God will see us through. When we call on God, He will be with us every step of the way. He says, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Now remember when Joseph's brothers were jealous of him? Joseph, he had that colorful coat, and his brothers were jealous because his father loved him more than he loved them. And the brothers plotted that they would kill Joseph. But Reuben, one of his brothers, said, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in the pit. And from time to time, some of us feel like in life we've been thrown in the pit. But I'm here to remind you that Joseph came up out of the pit and he went to prison. But he didn't stay in prison. He had hope while he was there. And in prison, the king had a dream. And Joseph was the only man who could interpret the dream. And from that place, the king set him up in the palace. Many of us have been in pits of despair. Many of us have been in pits that seemed hopeless. But here today, Zechariah, through our Father God, reminds us that when we are prisoners in our waterless pit, when we have hope, God Himself, through His unbreakable covenant, will come down in our dry places. He will come down in our places of captivity. He will come down in our places of suffering. He will come down in our places of despair. And He will set us free. And not only does He set us free, in verse number 12, He says, I will restore to you double. That means I'll give you a double blessing. I'll give you double for your trouble. Whatever you went through, whatever you're going through, whatever was taken away from you, whatever you lacked, based on your hope, God will restore unto you two times fold that which was taken away. Aren't you so glad we serve a Father who can give us more than individuals can take away from us? Aren't you so glad that we serve a God who is mindful that even when we're in the pit, He won't leave us in the pit, but He will come and raise us up and place our feet on a righteous stone. And so today, my brothers and my sisters, I ask the same question I started with. Can you handle a double blessing? All right. See, when we stand ready for God not only to bless us once, we realize that when you turn to the left, there's a blessing waiting for you. When you turn to the right, there's a blessing waiting for you. When you look behind you, there's another blessing. When you look ahead of you, there's another blessing. When we serve God with hope, and when our eyes are lifted toward Him in faith, we can begin to anticipate that I don't know when He's going to come, but I know that He will come, just like He came for the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. And if He does not come, I know He's able to do all things but fail. God is positioning us to be blessed. He's positioning us to anticipate that which He is ready to give, not only one portion, but to give us a double portion. And when He gives it to you, the most we can say is nobody but God was able to do this for me. Not for our own glory, but for God's glory. When we begin to give God the glory for the little things, He then positions us to receive the big things. When we give God the glory for what we consider to be nothing, He then gives us something. When we give God the glory for those things that we consider to be insignificant, He then showers and rains and pours down in our lives that which we consider to be significant. God not only adds, He multiplies. And He gives you more than you can ever give to Him. And so today, my brothers and sisters, I ask you the question. We all came to be blessed. But how many folks in the house came looking for a double blessing? Amen. Yeah, everybody come looking for one thing.
But on the way to getting one thing, can you handle the reality that God might give you two or three? And when he gives you two or three blessings, health, wealth, prosperity, you can walk out and proclaim that God is good and his mercies endure forever. Amen. Clap your hands and everybody stand. That's a good one. I love you, Jesus. Get a witness in the house. Do you love him?
I love you, Jesus.
I worship and adore.
Anybody want to be saved?
Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Anybody wish to join the church? We invite you to come. Anybody desiring a word of prayer? We invite you to come.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. And adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your unfailing love. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who is not just some mere prophet, but he is the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We come blessing you today because you have shown us not once but twice how you're able to bless us in spite of whatever it is that we are going through. Some of us are prisoners, living in a home where we feel that we're in bondage. Some of us didn't even know if we would come to church this morning. Sickness racked our bodies. Pain began to shackle us to our bed. But somewhere along the way, it was the Father who then, through the power of the Son, that began to touch us and stir us and enable us to fight beyond our limitations so that we might then be able to put mind over matter and be in this place today. God, not only can we handle one blessing, but we stand in agreement that we can handle two, three, or ten. Whatever you have in store for us today, oh Heavenly Father, we, like empty pitchers, are before a full fountain asking that you pour it into us. We bless you, O Heavenly Father. because all of us at some point in our lives have been thrown into a metaphorical pit, an area of despair that we just didn't know how we were going to get up out of. Some through sickness, some through unemployment, some through underemployment, some through relationship disaster, some through public scandal, some through whatever it is we went through. We just didn't know how we were going to make it. But somewhere along the line, you threw us a lifeline. You threw us a lifeline. And you pulled us up out of our pit of despair. And it was your son who saved us, who delivered us, who made a way for us, who taught us and placed us on a solid rock. Not only did he put us on a solid rock, but he tied an anchor around us so that our souls could be anchored in the Lord. So we come today thanking you, O God, for mercy, while mercy can be found. We thank you for the sister of the Nelsons and daughter, that as she fights in MUSC, that you are right there fighting alongside her. We bless you, oh God, that wherever Sean is, that though he fell off a ladder, you will prop him up on every leaning side. We pray now, oh Heavenly Father, for Cyril Robinson. Took out part of the colon, but now we pray that you put the life together. Only you can heal. The doctors can do any procedure they wish, but it is by your power that you heal. And then, Father, transform our community. Use us, O Heavenly Father, to be vehicles of peace. I love the part in the Word where it says that our weapons, the carnal weapons that we use in this life, will be useless in the life to come. We shall have peace. Men and women, boys and girls, black, white, Jew, Gentile, free, slave, bond, whosoever, Greek, Hebrew, doesn't matter. We all will be able to walk hand in hand as children of God. The Father will welcome us home, and the Son who sits in the midst of the throne will gladly receive us with joy. So, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, whatever it is we need today, not just one blessing, we ask that you give it to us. Fix us, O God, that we may be appreciative and we may receive with humble hearts, with thankful spirits. Some individuals who may be positioning themselves for the next chapter in their lives, before the first word is inked on the page, through your power, we ask that you make us ready. So the next chapter is just not a repeat of every other chapter before, but this becomes the most transformative period of our lives, that we may go forward stronger, we may be better, we may be wiser, and we may be able to do those things that you have called us to do with love. And we will give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we praise your holy name. And the whole church said amen. Church said amen again. Church said amen. And we ask that you take Sister Edwina Gadsden and Sean Rhodes all the way to Las Vegas safely and bring them back. Don't let the sun smite them by day nor the moon by night. Bless their coming and their going. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a hug and remind them that you can be blessed. Whatever you stand in the need of, God's got a blessing with your name on it. And so we pray in the name of the Father,
in the name of the Son,
that His blessings will be extended unto you in this season. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you.
From whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast to the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Can you handle a double blessing? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now, henceforth, and forevermore.